Down in my heart, the spirit is moving. Deep down in my heart, as the prophet said it would be. Deep down in my heart, there's a mighty revelation of the coming of the Lord. As the war, oh, let's sing again, all over the world, all over the world, the Spirit is moving, all over the world, as the prophet said it would be, all over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord. As the, amen, once more, deep down in my heart. Deep down in my heart, oh my, the Spirit is moving. Deep down in my heart, as the prophet said it would be. Deep down in my heart, amen. There's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Deep down in my heart, the Spirit is moving. Amen. What a confession this evening. I pray that we all can make that confession. Is that your confession this evening? Deep down in my heart? Amen. I don't know how hungry you are tonight for the word. I trust you are hungry. I trust that you come with expectations. Not just to sit back and listen, but to pull with faith. Amen. You have a part to play. I cannot just turn on myself here. But if you come with expectation, God will meet that expectations. If you come purpose in your heart with concentrated faith, say, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear from you, Lord. Amen. We have these few days to gather together. We didn't just come to socialize, though we're glad to see each other. Amen. We come to provoke one another to love and good works. How many believe that the hour is late? Amen. And nearer than when we first believe. And I believe that, you know, a lot has been put into this. Prayer has gone forth for many months. Sacrifices have been made. And you know, the fire of God has never come down upon an empty altar. Amen. Amen. There must be a sacrifice upon that altar. But it always brings the fire of God down. Amen. How many have a special request here tonight as we go to prayer? You just want to be remembered in prayer. Say, Lord, remember me. I believe he knows what we have need of. Not only does he know, but he is more than able to meet that need. Not only is he more than able to meet that need, but he promised to supply our needs according to his riches. Let's bow our heads to pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, with sincerity, with gratitude, with thanksgiving, Lord, in humility, we come before your great presence. How thankful we are, dear God, and you remembered us. And dear God, you called us by our names, and you separated us from the unbelief, and you appointed this time that we can come and gather together. And oh God, knowing that your presence is here among your people, gracious God, we look forward with great expectations that, dear God, you would minister unto us that which we have need of tonight, Father. Lord, we come asking in faith that you will do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, Father. Lord, we have come to this convention with a purpose in our hearts. That is to meet with you, dear God. Lord, like Jacob that time when he got a hold of that angel, he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. Oh, God, may we have that kind of purpose in our hearts, Lord, that we can take a hold of the mighty angel of God that is here amongst us. Oh, God, that we can draw from that inexhaustible fountain that which we have need of. Father, I pray you see these hands lifted up tonight. Lord, beneath those hands is a request, dear God. And Lord Jesus, as you promise to supply every need according to your riches and glory, I pray, dear God, that there will not be one that will be disappointed this evening, but that the great Holy Spirit that is here will minister unto that need, dear God, and your people will have that blessed assurance that you have heard and you have answered prayer, dear God. We look unto you tonight. Lord, you would speak to us again out of your word. Lord, you spoke to us this evening, Lord. We had a time to meditate and reflect upon what you spoke to us. And we've come back and you would speak to us again. We say like Samuel, speak, Lord, thy servant hear it. Have your own way in this meeting. Lead and guide us into all that be said and done. May no man be seen, but may Jesus Christ be seen. May you be the principal theme of this service, dear God. And may, oh God, from the greatest to the least, Lord Jesus, there will not be one that would leave this place this evening, but that, Lord, will have received from you, Lord God, what they have need of, Lord, as we look to you now, expecting to receive. Lord Jesus, we remember, oh God, that this day, 2,000 years ago, Father, today is a memorial, and we are reminded, Lord, that, Lord, that day on Calvary, oh God, the sin question was settled, Lord. You rent the veil in twain, and by a new and living way, Father, you have given us access into the holiest. We can come into your great, mighty presence, oh God, and we can receive what we have need of. Father, I pray this evening, Lord, that we would just walk by faith. The Holy Spirit would usher us in into that secret place of the Most High, and we can find an abiding place in the presence of the living God. Have your own blessed way in this meeting. Bless all your servants, dear God. Bless all your people. Every family is represented. Every individual here this evening. We will not fail to praise and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen. And amen. God richly bless you. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Judges, the Old Testament, chapter 6. We'd like to take a portion of scripture, dear, for a reading. Judges chapter 6, begin reading from verse 1. Very wonderful portion of scripture. I would really encourage you to give your undivided attention to the reading of the word, and you follow it in the Bible, and we try to. We desire to speak out of here this evening, and trust will be a blessing to you. Judges 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made themselves the dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. What a pathetic sight. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. Notice three powers there, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. Till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet. Notice that the Lord sent the prophet. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet unto the children of Israel, who said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Midianites, the Egyptians rather, and out of the hand of all who oppress you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not from here, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid. And that's a young goat. That was a sin offering. And on 11 cakes of an ephah of flour, the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. Look at the attitude he brought it in. He presented it. A kid, which Christ is that kid. The unleavened cakes is Christ. They brought in a pot which can be poured out with a type of the Holy Spirit. It's all Christ. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord, see who that angel was? The Lord himself. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the images of the groves that are by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. Notice how specific God was. In the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the images of the groves which thou shalt cut down. Notice that. He told him to take the second bullock of 7 years old and then cut down the images that are by it and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. See, upon this rock will I build my church. Upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place. And then take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the images which thou shalt cut down. See, God is specific. Verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the images were cut down that were by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who had done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he had cast down the altar of Baal, and because he had cut down the images that were by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He who will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one had cast down his altar. There was the same man who had the altar of Baal, you know. See, but now he began to wake up and realize that all his folly was being made manifest, and he decided to take a quick stand with the word. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he had thrown down his altar. Now look at this here. Look what happened after the burnt offering was offered up. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east, those three powers, were gathered together and went over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. He didn't fall on the floor and begin to roll and scream. He blew a trumpet. When the Spirit came upon him, he sung the message out. He blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. So notice there was another gathering. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Let us pray. Almighty God, we depend upon you, Father. We have read more scripture than we could ever even preach on in a lifetime. But Lord, just to bring a little drama here, and Lord, try to bring to the people the spiritual application of the hour that we are living in. And Lord, to see what you require of us as believers. And Lord, to show us where we are placed positionally and the type of relationship you desire to establish with us. Lord, we pray that these things be made so real in our hearts that we'll walk away from this place with one desire to surrender all to you and to be a better Christian. May you grant it, we pray this evening, and may you get glory out of this word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat? Well, I certainly want to greet you all again in the precious, lovely name of the Lord Jesus, and had the opportunity to speak with you, and some of you, that is, on Wednesday night. And I'm from Trinidad, that's way back in the Caribbean, and the very little island there. And, you know, to see God's grace in causing my path and the servant here, Brother Claude, to meet, to cross paths. And, you know, I'm certainly thankful for him and the invitation that he has extended unto me to be here and to have fellowship with you along the word. Also, my precious friend and brother Stephen Francis, who preached so wonderfully for us this afternoon. And I was telling him, there when he was having lunch, I says, you know, when you preach, your first message is the eighth day. I says, I better, you know, thank God I'm in the eighth day myself. Otherwise, we'll have to come behind, and I'm in the seventh day, I'll have problems. Because he already recognized what day we are living in and what our message is. Amen. Brother Abraham says, you know, he's Alpha and Omega, nothing between. Amen. In that Alpha age, and, you know, when that foundation revelation was laid in the Alpha Bride, and in this age, the capstone revelation has come back in the Omega Bride. And, you know, the Son of Man was revealed back there, and it's been revealed back there again. After he was rejected as Son of God, the prophet say, yeah, he's been revealed as Son of Man. Where the carcasses, all the eagles be gathered together. And how grateful we are for these things that God have allowed us to come to see and appreciate, that has helped us and is helping us to better understand our position in the Word. And I want to take for a little message this evening. You know, God requires a burnt offering in the harvest time. And for a subject, I want to take preeminence is first, then power for service. Preeminence is first, then power for service. And as we look at our scripture here, you know, is something very marvelous how we see it was placed in the harvest time. Because, and you say, well, how do you know it was placed in the harvest time, brother? I didn't hear anything about harvest. Sure, we heard about the harvest in verse 11. It says Gideon was by the winepress threshing wheat. You don't have wheat until it's harvest time. You see, the wheat is when the seed has come back to seed, you know, and that was a particular time, the harvest time that Jesus spoke of in the Bible. And, you know, as we look at these things here, we are going to realize that, you know, God has really helped us to recognize through the ministry of a prophet and the message we received in the last days that we are living in the harvest time. And as we look in the Bible, you know, years ago we couldn't read this Bible, we couldn't understand it. To many of us, you know, the Old Testament seemed like ancient history. Many people have loved the New Testament, and when you get to the book of Revelation, well, then that seems even more confusing. But then with the seven seals being opened up in the last days, the book has become a new book. And we realize that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. The Bible reveals one God from Genesis to Revelation. And as we look in the Old Testament, we see then that many of these things that was laying back here in shadows and types, how, you know, it spoke of this day. But Abraham said the Old Testament was a type of the New Testament. And the Old and New Testament is a type of this day. And, you know, I like to preach from the Old Testament because, you know, you look back there and you see how many of these things that we have been taught in the New Testament, we see where it was found. When we think that Jesus came and he took the Old Testament, the law and the Psalms and the prophets and all things concerning himself, and he preached himself out of the Old Testament. And then the apostles, they was preaching from the Old Testament. It was their teaching that became the New Testament. They had no New Testament while they were preaching. It is they collected their writings, what they taught from the Old Testament, and that became the New Testament. And then so in these last days, when the prophet came and he began to preach, you know, most of those great things that he preached and he showed to us that this Old Testament, which is Christ, and is revealing the bridegroom. The New Testament is the bride. And this entire revelation of Jesus Christ is made so plain to us in this hour. Now, I want you to notice something here as we begin to kind of build on this a little bit. And this will be like a little teaching. And my desire is that it will try to help you come to see where you are placed positionally in this hour. And we can understand what is happening. And when Brother Claude was here in the pulpit this afternoon, before he introduced Brother Stephen, he said, the time has come, we have to stop playing church. And it was so remarkable because he's writing my message of a quote that I want to read here to background this message. I'm taking a little inspiration out of "If God Be With Us, Where Are All His Miracles?" And when he closed this evening, this afternoon, he's closing the meeting, and he was saying that, you know, he was talking about the burnt offering, how our brother was reading the scriptures here, and he mentioned about the burnt offering. And that falls right there, very wonderful, because I believe, you know, God would just maybe give me a little confirmation that what I'm wanting to speak is his will. Now, on this message of God be with us, the prophet read the scripture here in Judges 6, and he begins to bring something out. He says, if that isn't the picture of the church today, just as soon as it gets out of one twist, right into another one it goes. But the time had come for action. And that's the same now. The time had come for action. The time had come when plain church had come to a halt with God. There's no more plain church. We must get down to business. He said, I trust that the same God will place this upon the heart of the people tonight, that it's time for a halt of plain church, plain religious, plain righteous, and now it's time for action. And he says now they have been playing church. Just as soon as they got out of one twist, God delivered them. Then instead of really going on and serving God, seeing his mighty hand, they twisted right back out into the things of the world again. And so the time had come when God called a halt. It must be that way. And I think it's time to call a halt now. He said, we have twisted the word of God to fit every organization there is in the world. Every plan that every man has schemed to do. We twisted the word to make it this way. Twisted the word to make it that way. Twisted some other way. He says, but the time has come to halt, stop your plain church. The time has come when the people says, if you can just get enough spirit to dance in the spirit, if you can get enough to see lights before your eyes or a sensation to run down your back or some quiver, some shake, some emotion, you've got it. You've got something. But I wouldn't say just what you had till I see what kind of fruit it growed. Amen. And then he says here, on paragraph 50, he says, now I want you to notice, in verse 1 to 7, in Judges chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, he says, we see the people falling away. We saw Gideon trying to build caves and different things, trying to hide his wheat from the wine press. The children of Israel was in fear of the Midianites. So God had told them, go in that land and possess that land. All things was under their feet. But now they were in fear. They was hiding. And they were being oppressed by these Midianites. And that was not the condition for the people of God to be in. And so the prophet said, from verse 1 to 7, we see the people falling away. From 7 to 10, we see the prophet coming and giving the people the remedy. Amen. Because when they begin to cry, the Bible says, and the Lord sent a prophet. Amen. And notice the prophet's message when he came now. The prophet's message was, I, the Lord, have brought you out of the house of bondage. I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you into this land. I drove out the enemy before you. I gave you the land. But you have not obeyed my voice. The prophet's message covered from Egypt to Canaan land. The prophet's message showed how God brought the people out of Egypt and into the land. It was a message of redemption. Because redemption has two parts, out of and into. And so, he says, verse 1 to 7, we see the people falling away. Verse 7 to 10, we see the prophet coming and giving the people the remedy. He said, now, we don't know where he come from. He never said there was a man, a Pharisee, who had been a priest for a while. It never gives backgrounds. The prophets, they rise up from nowhere. He said, no, I want you to notice another thing that might encourage you. Immediately after the prophet's message, the Lord appeared on the scene. Verse 1 to 7, the people fell away, being a crowd to the Lord. Verse 7 to 10, God sent a prophet. Prophet blast forth his message, went off the scene. When the prophet went off the scene, after the prophet's message, the Lord himself appeared on the scene, following the prophet's message. He said, the Lord appeared under a tree. As soon as he gave his message, the Lord appeared under a tree. The Lord came after the message of the prophet, sitting under a tree. The people fell away, got off in their isms. God sent his prophet. As soon as the prophet got through his message, the Lord followed the prophet's message for deliverance. And he says, oh, we are living in a grand time. Immediately when the prophet went off the scene, what happened? The Lord came on the scene. As soon as John went off the scene, the Lord came on the scene. Very mysterious how God works, but he does it. He works in a mysterious way. And then he says, and if you notice, it wasn't the angel of the Lord. It says, capital L-O-R-D. It was not an angel. It was God. It was a theophany in a man, in the form of God, like appeared to Abraham back in the wilderness. Looked like a man, so therefore being a messenger, he was the angel of the Lord. And he appeared to him and he said, thou mighty man of valor, and he's going to take him and deliver Israel by him. Oh my, so I think that kind of put us in a spot here now to catch a little bit of our background here. And that we can see Brother Branham laying this out for us. Now, all of this is happening when? In the harvest time. And the harvest time is a special time because Jesus preached and says, the harvest time is the end of the age. Now, all through the Bible, there are types of the harvest. Ruth came in at barley harvest. Is that right? And that was a type. Because when Naomi was going back in her homeland, after her family had died, Ruth was coming in. And that was the type of the Jews going back in the homeland in 1946. And at that time, there should be a Gentile bride coming. It was harvest time. Harvest time is when the seed come back to seed. Jesus said, I am the except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abide alone. Jesus preached himself as the corn of wheat. Now, Moses couldn't preach himself as a corn of wheat. Jeremiah couldn't preach himself as a corn of wheat. Elijah couldn't preach himself as a corn of wheat. Because the corn of wheat is the life in its entirety. The corn of wheat is the image of the life. There's no further stage than the grain. Adam was the first corn of wheat. He fell in the ground and died. Then from between Adam to Jesus, the life came up in the prophets. And each one of the prophets revealed part of the mystery of Adam. Then at the end of the Old Testament, here comes Jesus. And he was called the last Adam. He was the feast of the first fruits. He was the one that was waved. Is that right? Why? Because Adam came from thought to word to flesh. Adam was in the image and likeness of God. But every other man who come by sex bypass the word image. They come from thought to flesh. Adam was God only created son, but Jesus was God only begotten son. Amen. And so Jesus was the Word made flesh. And that's why I could preach, I and my Father is one. When you see me, you see the Father. I am the true light. I am the true bread. I am the true vine. Amen. Because he knew that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in him. No man could reveal the Father save the Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He had declared the Father unto us. Amen. So Jesus, knowing that he was that wheat, and he was in a wheat age, he was the fullness of the Word, he says, the Son of Man is the corn of wheat. Except the corn had fallen to the ground and died to abide alone. He also tells us that a sower went forth to sow, and he planted wheat. The good sower planted wheat, and the sower the Son of Man, and the wheat was the Word. So what was he doing? He was preaching the revelation of himself, that he might reproduce his own life in his own people. And he says, at the end of the age, the Son of Man was going to send the reapers to gather the tares together and gather the wheat together. See? He was going to separate them. So we find then that harvest time is when that same ministry of the Son of Man returns. It was not going to be through the age. Through the age, he was being revealed as Son of God. Is that right? Seven church ages. But then when he was rejected by the church world as Son of God, he revealed himself again as Son of Man according to Luke 17:30. Even thus shall it be in that day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Now what's something? So here we see then that Jesus telling us that the harvest time, the end of the age, is the time when the Son of Man shall be revealed. When the same ministry of the Son of Man is returned, the young rabbi going out with healing the sick. Then he comes with discernment, discerning the secrets of the heart. Daughter Simon, the son of Jonah, daughter of Israelite, whom there is no guile, woman, you have five husbands. Amen. See, then he comes with a spoken word. If you say to this mountain, peace, be still, speak to the storm, speak to the tree. No man from this tree no more. Amen. Then he comes to the opening of the word. He opened the seven seals in Matthew 24. Then he goes and he preached to the lost. Is that right? Then he raises the sleeping saints. So we see that's the ministry of the Son of Man. From the first pull healing all the way to the resurrection. Did we see the young rabbi going out and healing this day? We saw it going out in the first pull. Did we see the discernment? We saw it in the second pull. Did we see the spoken word? Speak to this mountain? Sure, we saw it. Did we see the opening of the seven seals? Sure. So from 1946 to 1965, we saw so much of the Son of Man's ministry fulfilled. But we are still here. We haven't preached to the lost yet. See? Because when he was publicly crucified on the cross, he cried with a loud voice. The Old Testament saints awoke. Then he went and preached to the lost, and then he raised the sleeping saints. That part of the ministry is still to be fulfilled. So from 1965 to 1994, then here we are being called. What for? Just to look back at what God did? Know that ministry might be completely fulfilled by and through the members of the bride. Amen. He left back part of that word to be fulfilled in your life and my life. In that day, you will know I in you and you in me. Oh, what a calling that we are called unto in this hour. Amen. So what's something? This great harvest time. The harvest time when the Son of Man has been revealed. Revelation 10, and that's the day we are in. Luther couldn't preach harvest time because he was in the stock age. He just had a little blade. The just shall live by faith. Wesley couldn't preach harvest time. They couldn't bring a rapture in the age because the wheat have to be formed before the Lord of the harvest come to take the wheat in the garner. Amen. So the Pentecostals, they thought there were the restoration, but that was only the shock. It looked like grain, but it was not grain. It didn't produce the three pulls of the Son of Man ministry. It didn't do it. Amen. It was just another stage, the receiving stage. See, Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, stock, tassel, and shock is a reformer age. Amen. But the grain is come back to an apostolic age, come back to a prophetic age. See, Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, and Columba was grain. Then the seed fall in the ground and die. That was apostolic age. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost is a reformer age. Reformation. But then we come back to an apostolic age to turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers, to bring back one Lord, one faith, one baptism in the last days. Amen. So when we look and we see then that where we are positionally, and here the grain is being revealed, the original faith, the church was built upon the revelation of who the Son of Man was. That was the foundation in the Alpha Bride. Then that same revelation of who the Son of Man is comes back at the capstone revelation in the last days to show he's Alpha and Omega. Amen. So here we are in this age, this great age that our brother was showing, the eighth day, because that's when the sheaf was waved. The sheaf was waved on the morrow after the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was the seventh, and the morrow after the Sabbath was back to the first day, the eighth day. Because eight is a new creation, a new spiritual order. Amen. And so in the waving of this sheaf, the revealing of the Son of Man, it proved that God called us out of the church ages. Because from Luther to the Pentecostals was 900 and something different denominations. See? Protestant denominations that came out of the womb of Rome, the mother of harlots and all the harlot daughters. Amen. And that was blasphemous names. But he called us out of blasphemous names into the place where he placed his own name. There is only one provided place of worship. Amen. You see, he is rejected out of the church age. He's put out. He's not in the air. He's on the outside. That's why he said, come out of her, my people, and be not partake of a plague. The third Exodus, calling us out of this system. Amen. Bringing us under the token, the blood. Amen. Why? Because it's time to leave. Amen. The wrath of God, judgment, is moving through that system that have turned on the word. So here we are in this hour. It's harvest time. Harvest time, there is no further stage than the grain. The prophet calls it the wheat age. He said we're not in a shock age, we're in the wheat age. We're not in an aeroplane age, we're in the astronaut age. We're not in the son of God, it's son of man. Amen. And in another reformer age, it's back to the apostolic age. So when we look at it, he divided it first. He divided the age to let us see there is something beyond the Pentecostal age. The Pentecostal age have become the Laodiceans. See? They have become the Laodiceans because they became rich and increased goods after World War II. But I'm saying when the Pentecostal started off, them women had no stockings in their feet. They would take the old corn, put it on the train line, the train would pass and mash it, grind it up for them to cook. He said, and then they would have one little guitar and a tambourine down the street corner, but today they build million-dollar buildings. Why? Because with them millions of souls in the healing revival, they went into Pentecost. And Pentecost was the fastest-growing organization beyond all the other organizations. And so all the money went into Pentecost. Amen. Into the Pentecostal denominations, and they became rich and increased goods. Amen. And there were the grandchildren. See, the real Pentecostals from 1906 to 1946. But Brother Bram says Smith Wigglesworth died one night, Charles Price the next night, Amy Semple McPherson died afterwards. He said, I was in the field. A one-man move. Behold, I send you Elijah. And he is personal pronoun, singular, masculine. That's one man. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when not she, not them, he, one man. One man like Eliezer, one man like John, a one-man move from 1946 to 1965. But there's no more one-man scripture. It unfolds into a little group of the true seed. After Jesus was the Alpha Bride. And so after the Son of Man revealed is the Omega Bride. If you watch it in the Bible, after Adam came Eve. After Jesus, the second Adam, come the Alpha Bride. After the Son of Man is revealed in the last days, come the Omega Bride. Between Adam and Eve came the serpent. Between Jesus, the Son of Man, and the Alpha Bride came the Nicolaitans, the White Horse Rider. And in the last days, he's a false anointed one's going to come. But this bride will prove she's not like the first two brides. She's ordained to overcome. She will not fall. Because she is him revealed. Amen. She is him revealed. Now hold that. Hold that right there. Do you want to get to that? She is him revealed. It's more than I believe Brother Branham. No, in that day you will know I in you and you in me. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away, and you shall know as you are known. Why? I'll open the seven seals. I'll show you them in the book. You will hear from your theophany. I'll take away your amnesia. I'll wipe it away from you. I'll show you your position in the world. It will take the neck belief away. It will bring you to a perfect faith. Amen. Because I am the author and the finisher or the perfecter of your faith. Amen. You are his workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. Amen. He's the one who's going to bring you to that full stature. He's brooding upon the churches like he brooded back in Genesis. Amen. When he brought up Eden. Amen. When he brought up a perfect man. The prophet says, seed shall not be heir with the shock. He said he's brooding upon the churches, trying to bring back that genuine image again. Because the bride, ushering years, the headstone, will be in his very image in order to be united with him. Amen. She will be the very manifestation of the living word of God. Not even death can harm her. Is that right? She will be the super race, the super church. Oh my. Think of what this word is saying about this bride here as we look at it. So it's all happening in the harvest time. That's what I want to bring to show you. This harvest time was titled in the Bible, in the book of Ruth. Ruth came in, the Gentile bride, when Naomi, a type of Israel, was going back in the homeland. And in the harvest time, Boaz was revealed as Lord of the harvest, kinsman redeemer, and then bridegroom of the Gentile bride. And it unfolding to us in this very hour, the same way. Because it was a type, that Gentile coming in the air. She went through the different stages. But I'm sure Ruth deciding. She made a clean-cut decision. Say, I believe it. Entreat me not to leave thee. Where thou goest will I go? Your people shall be my people. Notice that Boaz, Revelation 10:1. Bible said when he came in the field, he came to the chief reaper. He was the head planter in the sowing season. Now he was the chief reaper in the harvest time. Amen. He came to Revelation 10:1, came to Revelation 10:7, and he looked at the under field and he sees Revelation 10:8-11. He said, who is that damsel there? Amen. A great mystery. He said, behold, I. Who is I? Revelation 10:1. Send you. Who are you? Revelation 10:8-11. Elijah. Who is Elijah? Revelation 10:7. And he, Revelation 10:7, will turn your heart back to the faith of the fathers with his message, Revelation 10:3-4. It's the same scripture. It's not different. Amen. You see, that's his message. Those seven thunders literally turned the heart of the children back to the faith of the fathers. But you see, God hides his word the way he says it. How is the book sealed? It didn't have straps on it. It's by the way the prophets spoke it. And how was it open? By the way, he ordained a prophet to come and speak it. And just the way he was saying it, it was opening the word. And we say, but serpentine was always in the Bible. What the baptism was always in the Bible. One God was always in the Bible. It was nobody was now adding it in there, but nobody was anointed to say it a certain way to open it. Amen. But God in that season gave a certain anointing that the man could say it a certain way and tie it together and show that it was nothing but the truth from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. So watch. So here we are seeing then this great thing that is happening in the harvest time, Ruth. How Ruth comes in the harvest time. Joshua. In the book of Joshua, Joshua took the children of Israel over into Canaan land at harvest time when the Jordan overflowed all its banks. On the Message Paradox 1961, Brother Bram had this vision. He was walking on the map of Palestine. He said, I am two-thirds of the, I was on the map. Two-thirds of the journey. He said, I was coming down to the Jordan. He said, there beyond Jordan in Canaan land laid all the promises. Amen. And at the end of the message, page 45, he said, oh God, break to us the seals on the back side of the book that we can enter into that great place. 1965, a paradox. He says, Lord, let them see we are in the Ephesians again. These seals have been opened. He had crossed over. He's saying the Ephesians, a man like Joshua could stop the sun. Speak and stop the sun. Amen. Hallelujah. He had come into his inheritance. So Joshua, Brother Branham had a Joshua commission. You see, Genesis is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. See, they was all in Canaan land. But then Joseph goes down in Egypt and dies. And then Exodus is outside of Canaan land. Exodus is in Egypt. Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. See, that is the journeying back to the land of the fathers. See, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph is like Paul, Uranus, Martin, Columba. Columba goes on the ground and dies. Then Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, like Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, is journeying back. Deuteronomy means two laws. Amen. Deuteronomy is only a rehearsal of what took place in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Amen. Showing those whose name was blotted out of the book, who they was eternally separated, your father did man in the wilderness, and there was everyone dead. Is that right? Show the 2.5 tribes who wanted the inheritance on the wilderness side. See? And then it showed the tribes who was going over into Canaan land to be placed positionally in the inheritance. The Lamb's book and the book of life, two sections of the same book. One showing those whose names are blotted out. One showing the foolish virgins. But the Lamb section showing the bride who wasn't the bridegroom predestinated to obtain an inheritance. Amen. And so, here, when we look at the scripture and see the Joshua, Brother Abraham says, we are in the Ephesians again. We come back to the book of Joshua again, because Joshua is the book of redemption. Deuteronomy is when there was, in Numbers, they had come up the Kadesh Barnea. Is that right? A type of the Pentecostal age. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. From Egypt, the Kadesh Barnea was Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. But there, that was the end of the church age. But then what happened? The Jordan had to open up a way to take the call out under the prophet's message who came out in the Exodus. How do you get that? Remember the third seal is what? Third seal is stop, tassel, and shock. Fourth seal, the eagle that come at the end of the Pentecostals, at the end of the shock, brings back the grain. Is that right? And under the fourth seal, three powers, religion, politics, and demon powers be united. When? In harvest time. Amen. In that very hour, God sent that prophet. In that very hour, the angel of the Lord, Revelation 10:1, is following Revelation 10:7. And watch, when the angel appeared on the scene, he didn't go down the city. He didn't go somewhere out by the beach or somewhere. He was among the elect. Oh, what a condition! Here was the economic depression in the land. Here was three powers devouring the increase of grasshoppers. 200 million of them. Amen. Locusts. Come out of the bottomless pit. Devouring everything in the land. Hallelujah. Let me take this. Thank you. Feel a little better. Now watch. And here what was happening. While that was taking place, here was Gideon now. That economic depression loose sort of spirit of fear and insecurity. It make everybody get conscious of what they have and try to hold on to what they have and try to manage what they have and try to trust in their own ability of managing what they have. So they were digging caves. Some person say, I ain't think that cave deep enough, you know. Say, my cave, I have an inner compartment, which is my insurance policy. In this cave. Next one, build a den in the rocks in the mountains. Man, with the human ability, with the energies of the flesh, trying to create security so the three powers that have been united at harvest time wouldn't destroy what they have. Yet they're under the prophet's message, and yet they're looking for miracles. But look at him. He had heard the prophet's message. But it was only historical in his mind. It had no present influence on him. Because he was not anointing perfect fit and recognizing a position when the squeeze come, what the turtle did. He wasn't anointing that.
The angel appeared on the scene with a positive message. The Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. Go in this thy might. You will smite them like one man. Be not afraid. Peace be unto you.
Brother, and he said, me? I'm the least of my father's children. I can't do that.
He wasn't seeing himself the way the angel was seeing him. He had an inferiority complex. But when the angel appeared on the scene, the angel, even though he was in that condition, the angel didn't come and pull him down for it. The angel knew his condition. Amen. The angel knew if I could only change the atmosphere around him. Amen. If I could begin to show him who's here on the scene. If he could only recognize it. If he could only perceive it's Jehovah Shalom. Hallelujah. The great JVH in the skies. And the message Shalom, Brother Bram says, here he is, don't be wary. Jesus is here. JVH, Jehovah Shalom. He said, peace be unto you. Is that right? When? In the harvest time. Amen. Now watch. The Lord following the prophet's message for deliverance. See, the Lord knew that them three powers was going to come in for a showdown. And when the challenge rise, he was going to meet that challenge. The elect was going to be anointed and ready for a ministry of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Because Judges 7 reveals to you the ministry of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. But what's something? Before the showdown came, after the going away of the prophet, and before the showdown with the three powers, it was between that time the Lord followed the prophet's message for deliverance. When he was threshing the wheat. Now, there's one season where you plant the wheat. There's another season where you take the sickle now to reap the wheat. When you're threshing the wheat is when you're at the threshing floor, when you have the fan in your hand. He will have his fan in his hand and he will purge his threshing floor. The winnowing fan, where he's separating the chaff from the grain now. Amen. So what's the time when the angel comes? Because the very angel was going to use Gideon like his fan in his hand. Amen. And he was going to purge that threshing floor. Amen. He was going to be an instrument in God's hand in that hour. And that is what he wants you to be, my brother, my sister. He wants to make you that instrument. He's appeared to you. Amen. After the going of the prophets, before the coming of them three powers, and he will do the same thing if it's the same God. He will do exactly what he did in the Bible at harvest time. He'll come and he'll, because this was showing the condition, even the very elect who will have that ministry of the sword of the Lord, they were getting tied up in the web of all this economic crisis. Amen. They were trying to hide away everything in a spirit of fear. They were trying to use all their man-made human ability and all their own human intelligence to secure what they had in case. Just. Amen. But God, the God who sent the prophet, amen, the very God who predestinated him in that very hour, the very God who is going to come to show him his position in the world, the very God who is coming to break the inferiority complex and drive the fear away from him and bring him up to a place, you know, grow in this thy might, have not I sent thee. Did you catch that? The same God who has sent the prophet is now sending others in the harvest time. And how did he send them? He went in them. Amen. Glory, the Spirit and the bride say come. Amen. Now what's something? So here he was. Look at our setting here. Between the going away of the prophet and the coming showdown with them three powers. In that hour, when the angel of the Lord appeared on the scene, he called a halt to plain church. The prophet said, time to call a halt. He called a halt. What was the halt? Gideon was looking for miracles. He was remembering the prophet. Boy, he spoke to the storm. Boy, he spoke to this. And he said, when the squeeze come out, the third pull down. See? Oh, we want to see that, Lord. Sometimes we even try it out. Get disappointed too. Because we are not taking inventory. That how could it happen when we're trying to use all our human intelligence, when we have fear for them three powers, when we're trying to live in the energy of the flesh, when we're trying to save our own selves, with our own man-made intelligence and our own human ability. See? He was trying to seek it by works. But it's not by might or by power. It's not him that run it. It's God who showed mercy. It's God who is going to come in the scene. And when he go forth, he was going to go forth by God's might and by God's power. He's going to go forth by God's Spirit. Amen. Now look. And here, Gideon that hour had an inferiority complex. How many of us tonight? You know, the word begin to show to us, you are super race, you are super church. God begin to tell you, you are the restoration of the bright tree. In that day you'll know I and you and you and me. I said, who, me, Lord? He said, you will do greater works than these shall you do. Amen. And we kind of wonder about it. We said, maybe Brother Branham could do it, but we can't do that. See? And we have that inferiority complex. But what's something? And that angel begin to rebuke him and begin to show him, no, haven't I sent you? But he was still dull in his mind, his senses. He talked to the man he was conversing with. He couldn't pick up and perceive. It was God. Amen. And then something was moving him on the inside. He said, wait a minute, give me a sign. If it's the Lord talking to me, give me a sign. Wait right here. And he went. You see, under that, he began to become conscious of his sin. So he went and got a sin offering. See? And he got the young kid, and he got the unleavened cakes, and he got the broth. And he was coming, and like he was going to put in the wrong rock too. But the angel said, upon the top of this rock, pour it right here. He had to reveal to him the place of worship, the only provided place. He had to reveal to him the approach, amen, how to bring it. And he, as he brought it, God accepted it. Oh, he's going to accept our faith tonight. If when that word comes to us, even though we might be in a condition, even though we might be trying to live with a historical influence, oh yes, there was a time I felt so blessed. You know, one time, but like right now, I just don't seem to have no inspiration. Like right now, I don't seem to have the victory. Like right now, like at one of my lowest points. Well, that's where God met him, at one of his lowest points. Amen. Amen. Glory. He might be meeting you at one of your lowest points tonight, friend. But he's not looking at your fault. He can see beyond your fault. He's seeing your need. And he has come to meet the need of the hour. Because he was seeing those three powers. And he was seeing his children. And said, my goodness, look at my children. Dens and caves and this and that and the other. Strongholds and wine press. He says, no, that isn't the way for my children to live. After I sent my prophet, after my prophet spoke that message that's laying here to bring them into a new body, to give them faith to be changed, to take them all the way back to the Garden of Eden, yet it seems that there is something not yet quickened to them, that they're all bunged up with fear and inferiority complex, a compromising spirit, seen all kind of things now, and they, because the prophet gone off the scene so long since they blasted the message, it seemed like they learn how to live and accept the present situation, and so maybe God must be changed the standard, only to realize from the time God came on the scene, he began to zero right in on the areas that was hindering him from having the preeminence. God desired preeminence. Because this burnt offering, we want to get at. You see, many times we use the word preeminence. Lord, have the preeminence in my life. What do we mean? If we don't have a concept of what we mean, when God begins to answer those prayers, we could fight against it. When God begins to send the conditions and the situations to break that human will, to bring you in subject to his will, to take away your fears, when he's going to try you, to bring you to a greater faith, if you don't understand how he is going to get that preeminence in you, you can resist his very will. The very thing you're praying for. See? Until we use the word so much, until like it's beginning to lose its value. The value of its meaning. Because we can hardly even sometimes make one stand or one sacrifice. And yet we say, Lord, have the preeminence. And preeminence means total unreserved surrender. Complete surrender, complete self-denial, dying daily, not you that live but Christ that live in you, amen, crucified with Christ,
What a day to preach a message like this. Amen, because it's a consecration message. Consecration for this very hour. The very things we are looking for. The very things we hope God will shine down in our hearts in these services. But you're going to take a consecration. We are reminding ourselves He died 2,000 years ago and we can live today. What about we dying to ourselves so that He can live inside of us? Amen. We can be crucified with Him today. That we can lay down our lives and be obedient to the will of the Father even unto death like He did today. If we have to despise the shame. Amen. It should mean something to us. That's why I say I trust you come with a purpose in your heart this evening. I trust you come zero to say, Lord, talk to me. Lord, show me where I am. Amen. I'm trying to show you. Between the going of the prophet. Prophet of 1965 and the coming showdown. Look over to Jesus. He says, when the squeeze come, watch the third pole then. In that Mount Zion showdown. Amen. See, them three powers being united together will come and close us down. We'll bring a persecution. You can't buy or sell. We'll put pressure upon it to get in the World Council of Churches. But when that hour comes, you'll be pressed until you're all pressed out. But then watch the third pole then. Amen. It will start the rupturing faith to the going away of the church. Look at Gideon. He was in that condition. But God was seeing the three powers. And God had come on the scene before they made the move to come upon him. Amen. God had dropped down on the scene. And when God dropped down on the scene, God began to tell him, he says, you, go in this, you might. You're looking for miracles. But you see, he was looking for miracles apart from human instrumentality. What are we looking for today, friends? You see, people come to church sometimes and they want a platform performance. So Gideon thought, I'm going to sit back and watch a few miracles. Lord, where's the miracle? Show us a few miracles. But God wanted to do the miracle through him. Not, it wasn't going to be done outside of him. God said, you want to see it? Well, I want to do it. But I want to do it through you. I don't want you to sit down there and expect me to do it outside of you. He said, I'm going to do it through you. Amen. He said, but first, that compromising spirit you have there. Your father have that bullock on that Baal altar. Baal was an impersonation of worship of Jehovah. Remember in the Bible how Elijah challenged them, people from Baal. See? And he saw his father, Joash, the old man. He was offering that first bullock because God said, take the second bullock your father had. See, they had a first bullock. But that bullock now was a type of Jehovah, was a type of Christ. He is that ox. In the Gospel of Mark, he was the ox, he was the bullock. Jehovah's laboring servant. Amen. And now what's something? God is requiring a burnt sacrifice. Now look at Judges 6 here. We see a prophet in the harvest time. Did we have a prophet in the harvest time? We prove we're living in the harvest time. Gideon saw a revelation of Jehovah Shalom in the harvest time. Have we seen a revelation of Jehovah Shalom in the harvest time? Amen. See? There was the angel of the Lord followed the prophet's message in the harvest time. Have the angel of the Lord followed the prophet's message in the harvest time? There was a uniting of the tears. Them three powers was being united in the harvest time. Is that right? Is there a uniting of the tears here in the harvest time? There was a gathering of the wheat. When it began to blow that trumpet, Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun, they all began to gather together. Do we see a gathering here in this harvest time? There was a uniting of God and man, the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God came upon him. God and man was united in the harvest time back there. God and man is to be united. He has super sign. There is to be a super sign in this harvest time. Revelation 10:1, the Spirit and the Bride. Revelation 11 will say, come. Is to be united in this harvest time. Now watch. There was a coming of the Holy Spirit to bring power for service. Because that is when he went forth with the ministry of the Son of the Lord. After the Holy Spirit come. Amen. Does God promise a ministry of the Son of the Lord? 1963. He put that sword in his hand. You have the king's sword. The sword of the Lord. Is that right? He said, Lord, may I hold it closely, grip it tightly. Amen. See, march forward to the third pole. Amen. That the king saw. That's the word. Amen. So look, there's a great economic depression at harvest time. Is there a great economic depression this harvest time? Exactly right. There was also a burnt offering which God required in that harvest time. So then if all those other things is typed out perfectly in that harvest time, and I showed you all the harvest times in the Bible spoke of this great harvest time, then that burnt offering spoke of complete unreserved consecration. It spoke of total surrender. Amen. And then it means to say, if we have to bring forth that, then we must bring that forth before we can see that ministry of the sword of the Lord. Because it's only after he offered the burnt sacrifice. But look how he had to offer it. God said, cut down all the images, cut down all the groves. Boy, I tell you, we have a lot of images sometimes. Somebody have a sports image. Somebody have a Hollywood image. Somebody have some executive image. They have all kinds of different images. But this is the image of Jesus Christ. We beholding the glory of the Lord is in a mirror. It changed from glory unto glory until we are changed into the same image. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And all them different gods there, God said, cut it down. He said, after you cut it down, he said, take the second block and offer it upon the wood of the images that you cut down. So in other words, before they can offer the bullock, they had to cut down the images to get the wood. He said, now why did God require that? You see, it was calling to a total separation. Because when they offer that bullock upon the wood of those images, it will reduce it to ashes. And they will never ever be able to go back to them images because they'll be completely consumed. Amen. You'll be totally separated from it completely. Amen. Then that brought down a union between God and man. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. God and man was united. It was no more, I'm the least of my father's children, I can't do this. It's going just that might now. The same powers he was hiding from. Now he's blowing a trumpet. And that message begin to song, begin to gather all the elected together. What God is doing? When the enemy come like a flood, God is going to raise a standard. Amen. Now friends, watch. We see them three powers moving. It revealed to us exactly what they are going to do. They bring an economic crisis upon the very nation, the nations of the world. They're breaking the economy. Inflation, recession, jolting the minds of many people. Boy, they heard the prophet's message and they had faith one time. But as things kind of begin to wear out, you find their faith begin to waver. They're resorting back to a lot of the old man-made things. But watch, in that very hour, between the reaping of the grain and the garnering of the grain, where it is removed to take it into the storehouse, in the threshing time, when God was separating it from the chaff, that was the time the angel of the Lord appeared unto the elect who had believed the prophet's message and who was looking for the miracles. And when the angel appeared, he required a burnt sacrifice. And that burnt sacrifice was to bring God and man into union. It was to bring God and man one. So God had the preeminences through Gideon that he could go for with the ministry of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon to face the three powers in that showdown. Oh my. Think of it. 1965, that prophet went off the scene. Now, on the message, humble thyself. But when I'm speaking here, page 3, he says, now is my time for consecration to God. God's time to speak to me. I must have a little change in my own life. Not that I think that I am wicked, but I want to feel a little more closer to the people. He said, the people that I've tried to tell this gospel truth to and they turn their back on it and walk away and laugh at it. Now, to me, that seems like an insult. I don't care, to me. But to the things that I've been saying, it's the truth. Trying to help them. Like shoving out a boat and say, here it is, cross over. Yeah, get out of that swollen stream, you're going to die. You're going to perish there. And they just laugh at you and walk away. Well, to me,
It feels like if they walk away, there's nothing more I can do about it, see, that I can do. But I want to run down their bank now and persuade them, come on back. See, I've got to have that feeling. Because I know there is somebody out there that hasn't come in yet. And I'm going to fish. He said, until the last fish is caught, I want to do that now. And now in order to do this, I am expecting something to happen in a prayer meeting. Something, you remember the vision of the last pull, the third pull? You remember there was something just happened before that? I seen the light come and go down to that place. I'll meet you there. I'm looking for something to happen. Now, I'm looking for something to happen to start the third pull in the match. He says, I'm looking for that third pull to start in the match. He says, but I must see a change in me. I must have that feeling. Even though they reject me, I must have that feeling of love. The point is no more whether I'm going to bring them or not, but it's the condition of my heart. Do I have that in my heart to go after them? He said, not that I'm sinful, but I need that change. Amen. Now look, page 10. He said, I was thinking here of one little illustration, the back of what he said. Now we look at this watch. He's talking about his wristwatch. To find out what time it is, unless that every instrument in that watch is coordinating one with the other, we'll never know the correct time. And that takes all of us together. If we want to see the third pull really do something for God and coordination with every one of us together, to humble ourselves before God, confess our wrong, and pray and believe God for these things. Is it humble ourselves, confess our wrong, and pray and believe God for these things? If we want to see the third pull really do something for God. Amen. Page 14, he says, look at Jesus. Nothing but one bundle of love. He was God manifested. He was God expressed himself through him. No wonder miracles and things happened. His humble life and consecrated life to come from being God to be a man here on earth to express God through himself. That's what made him what he was. I've always said what made Jesus God to me was the way he humbled himself. He was so great and yet could be so small. Amen. On the message indictment, he preached... He says here, take me, Lord. He finished his message. He said, take me, Lord, while we're in your presence. Just take the word. Ring out our hearts. God, right now, pull along the world and the care of the world away from us. Let us be consecrated Christians, O God, to be loving and kind and sweet, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Won't you, Lord? We are before your throne. Sin has left a crimson stain on every one of us. But your blood can remit it, Lord, and make it white as snow. Grant it while we are waiting upon thee. Take us. We are yours. Consecrated our lives to you. Amen. He said, wring my heart, Lord. I see all my errors. I see my mistakes, God. From this time, I'm trying to do the best I can to help you. I want to consecrate my life anew to you here this morning. He says, may there come forth a revival of the just and a great power come among the church just before it's going. It's not hard to pray that because you promise it. And we are looking, Lord, for that third pull that we know will do great things for us in our midst. He said, I am yours, Lord. I lay myself on the altar, just as consecrated as I know to make myself. The world for me, Lord. For me that's perishable. Give me the imperishable things, the word of God. May I be able to live that word so closely till the word will be in me and I in the word. Grant it, Lord. May I never turn from it. May I hold that king's sword so tightly, grip it so closely. Grant it, Lord. Oh, my. Here the prophet, his time of consecration had come for him. He saw them three powers being united. He knew the squeeze was coming down. He knew that there was going to be a ministry of the sword of the Lord. The third pull had manifested itself five times. Resurrection, creation, see? Salvation, power over the elements, and healing. He saw five manifestations. He says, thoroughly vindicated to you. He said, but it will not be used until the squeeze come. When the three powers united come down, he said, then watch the third pull then. It will start the rapturing faith. Now watch something, friends. And during that time, he knew it was going to take a consecration to go in there. Because Christ's mystery of God revealed, page 68 and 69, he said, this is God's great mystery of love express, that God and man became one. See, the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. God and man was one. That ministry of the sword of the Lord, God and man was united in the harvest time. Amen. The Spirit and the bride, friend. In that day, you know, I in you and you in me. Great is he that is in you. God and man is to be united again.
Amen. It's God's great mystery of love expressed that God and man became one. See, the whole thing is God and man one. God and man is one there. God and man is one here. See what it is? Being filled with His Spirit. Him having the preeminences. That was God's achievement. That's God's purpose to do that. That He might be in Christ and Christ in us and all of us together one. The Holy Spirit. Same thing that revealed to Christ revealed it here. The supernatural creative power. The same God that could say to Moses, let there come frogs. The same one that could stand there and say, let the water turn to be wine. Amen. He's the same God. Just don't change. It's God and man. That's His manifestation. That's what He's revealing. That's what He's trying to do. And God's own word reveals and shows that man cannot create. God's the creator. And it ain't man no more. Get it now? It's God, the creator in man, which is His church now. It's God, the creator in man, which is His church now. When you can have the preeminences. What is this God's great achievement? To have preeminences in His bride. Amen. And that's what I'm trying to bring out here to you, to show you what that preeminence is. How God comes and requires that preeminence. Amen. It had to be there at a certain time. The prophet spoke it. But here Gideon, he still wouldn't let God have preeminence. Living in the energy of the flesh. Trying to walk by sight and not by faith. Looking at the three powers out there. And trying his own man-made securities and these things. But the angel of the Lord appeared on the scene. Dropped down on the scene right there amongst them. Sit on the tree and begin to watch them. Begin to watch them a little bit. Found them in the act. Expressing all our fear and insecurity. Look over there in his father's house and see all the Baal altar there still. See? Then he began to speak to him a positive message and he couldn't respond in the affirmative. Oh my. But yet he was still elected. Yet God, amen, after that meeting, we're going to change him. Glory, we're going to show him, open up the channel to bring God and man into union, to make them become one, ready for a ministry of the sword of the Lord. Amen. But bring him into rapture condition, into bride material. Amen. Glory. The prophet said, he said, now you're coming to bride material. Live in a world of perfect faith, where you recognize that he was the word, and he relied upon what the word said he was. Well, God was telling him what he was. Thou super church, thou super race. Amen. Thou invincible army. Satan will be powerless before you. Nothing death can harm you. Amen. Glory. He was going to bring him into it. They could stand there and see it come to pass. Glory. So that is church. God the creating man. And here he says, listen close now. Listen close now. I want you not to fail to get this. No other church. No other sign, no other fellowship, no other government, no other testimony, no other creed, no denomination is accepted. No fellowship is accepted, no church is accepted, no testimony is accepted, no creed is accepted. He says, outside of this, only thing that God recognizes, no fellowship, no church, no creed, no denomination, no nothing. Everything else is dead, it's fragments. It's been cut off, pruned off away. From the thing that Christ might live with preeminence in you. The only thing is Christ might live with preeminence in you. No fellowship, no church, no creed, no nothing that Christ could live with preeminence in you. See, it's got to be cut off, pruned off, till there's just you and Christ alone. By the living presence of the living Christ, by the living word. Oh, living Christ, living presence, living word. By his own personal vindication, proves his church. You get that? Let me say it over again. By his own personal vindication, God in you, identifying it is he in you. God walking in your feet, speaking through your lips, thinking with your mind, working in your hands, speaking through your lips, believing with your heart. God having preeminence in you. You having faith to believe for your brother, faith to believe for your wayward children, virtue to strengthen them that are wrong you, which out of your faith,
unto your revelation. Bring forth virtue and strengthen those around you. Knowledge to know where they are. Knowledge to know the condition that they're in. Knowledge to know what age that you're living in. Knowledge to know what is your promise for the age you're living in. Knowledge to know what part of the world you are. Knowledge to know what kind of spirit upon them. Temperance to bear with them. Because the man who strives for the mastery is not easily provoked. He that strives is temperate in all things. He don't fight as one that beat at the air. Patience. Amen. Did it wait upon the Lord. Let patience of his perfect work, and he might be entire want and nothing. See? Patience. Not trying to manufacture something like Sarah out the season or like Eve, you couldn't wait. Amen. But have patience to wait. Wait, I say, wait upon the Lord, and he will strengthen thine heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Godliness. To be like Jesus. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of you. See? Godliness. Respect for life. Godly life. And brotherly kindness. See? Put yourself in your brother and sister place. Amen. Noah, you could have been in that condition, but God was gracious to you. Amen. You could have lived on your life as I have loved you, so love one another, and the love of God has covered a multitude of sins. That's the man that's going in the rapture. Is it not so much the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, where somebody wants to speak in tongue or see a vision or something? That will come upon you once and never come upon you in your life again. But brother, he says that is the action of the Holy Ghost. Because whether you make or have a little manifestation and it lasts for a few minutes in a service, you'll have to live that life every day, 24 hours a day. So he says the action of the Holy Ghost, not so much the manifestation. When somebody provoke you, how you behave? Amen. Love behaveth not itself unseemly. It don't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. It's slow to anger. It's long-suffering. Is that right? Think it on the things of others. Glory. See? The preeminences. He said, that is what it is. His own personal vindication in you. Amen. Glory. And listen. He said, remember, think of it. People that's born of his spirit in a day like this, in this great denominational age that we live in, the living God takes his living word and vindicates it personally, that this life that is in the word, the germ that is in the seed, the word is a seed that a sower went forth to sow. And the life is Christ in the word, personally in you. Vindicating something that you cannot do. Proving himself it's not you, but it's him. But they speak all manner of evil against you, persecute you, lie, try to defame you. And you rejoice and be exceedingly glad and you pray for them. No revenge, no retaliation. Showing it's not you. Is God in you? Amen. Glory. He said that too. Proving himself is not you. And you become a love slave to him to be the bride. It's not a group. It's a personal vindication of a pregnant child of God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. So surrender to God. That he don't care about nothing else. And the Holy Spirit living its life pulsating through him. Showing the personal vindication. Not a group revelation. Personal vindication. Gentile. He that is in you. In that day, you know, I in you. Amen. Glory. See, it goes right by them. They don't recognize it till it's gone. But it only picks up the predestinated seed that God predestinated before the foundation of the world. Same thing coming in the days of Noah. Same thing come through the days of Moses, days of Elijah, days of the prophets, days of Jesus. On down through to this very hour. The pregnant person with the seed of God, the word in the air, manifesting itself. So surrender to the will of God that the word and the word alone manifest itself in the person, the prisoner. See? To an individual. To the prisoner, to an individual. Let's just get ready to close. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 1. God required a burnt offering. Now today, if we have seen all these things, we have seen a prophet in the harvest time. We have seen a revelation of Jehovah Shalom in the harvest time. We have seen the angel of the Lord following the prophet's message in the harvest time. We have seen three powers uniting to devour the land in the harvest time. We've seen the elect believing the prophet's message, looking for the miracles that the prophet spoke of when the enemy is coming like a flood in the harvest time. We see the great economic depression in the harvest time. We see the coming of the Holy Spirit, the capstone, bringing power for service, a quick short message. God and man united as one in the harvest time. See, uniting time and sign.
We see the wheat being united. We see the tares being united. But then we also see God requiring a burnt offering in the harvest land. Between the going of the prophet and before that showdown with them three powers. Then, if that is so, then what is the burnt offering we have to bring for today? And how are we to bring for this burnt offering? Gideon understood when God told him offer the bullock, he knew how to offer it. Because he had Leviticus. He had read Leviticus. He knew how to offer it. Look how they offer it in Leviticus, chapter 1. We bring it close here, so don't be too tired. Just give me an undivided attention right now. And the Lord called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any manner of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Had to be offered voluntarily. Had to be a male without blemish. See? He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. Notice, not cut it up in pieces, cut it up into its pieces. But first you have to flay. To flay it means to skin it. And in skinning it, it had to expose the inside. Because the outside, it might look free from blemish. Remember Jesus tell them Sadducees and Pharisees? He said, outside like whitened sepulchres. He said, but inside was full of dead men's bones. The woman at the well, he said, she was defiled in her body, but she was pure in her heart. She said, the priest was defiled in their heart, but it was pure in the body. So they had to flay this burnt offering to expose it on the inside to see if it had any blemish. And the sons of Aaron, verse 7, the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. And notice where he got his wood from. Gideon got his wood from cutting on the images. See? But it's inwards, and its legs shall he wash in water. So you have to cut the head, examine it. You have to cut the fat off, examine it. You have to get the inwards, examine it. You have to get the legs. And the priest shall burn all. Burn the head, burn the fat, burn the inwards, burn the legs. Burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And then verse 10 to 13, tell you if it is a sheep, and from verse 14 to 17, tell you if it was a dove. So you're going to offer a bullock, you're going to offer a sheep, or you're going to offer a turtle dove or a young pigeon. Now what's something? The burnt offering, in the Hebrew, the word is olah, O-L-A-H. And it means that which ascends, that is in smoke to God, being reduced to ashes. It was the greatest of all the offerings. It was a sweet-smelling savor offering. There were five offerings. The burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. And all these offerings, each one showed a distinct relation of the believer to the work of Christ. It revealed Christ in a diversified way. And the book of Hebrews said, by one offering once and for all, he perfected forever them who are sanctified. You see, because all these offerings was unfolding a different aspect of Christ's life to us. And this burnt offering was the greatest of the offerings. And it was wholly burnt. It's also called a holocaust. It's completely reduced to ashes. And it goes up before God. And it gives a sweet smelling savor. And Jehovah said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. See?
He'll be pleased. Paul said, our lives is a sweet, Christ is a sweet savor. See, a sweet smelling savor unto God. Jesus said, Father, I do those things that please you always. See, I know you hear me always. Now watch. It spoke of the complete unreserved consecration of the offerer in his being to God. And it was wholly burnt on the altar. Because our duty is not given up one faculty. See, the head spoke of the thoughts. The feet spoke of the walk. The inwards spoke of the affections and the desires. That's why the Bible talks about the bowels of compassion. Set your affections and things above. What kind of affections we have on these? The fat spoke of the strength, the choices and most desirable parts of the animal. And all have to be proven to be without blemish. If the head had a blemish in it, see? In this day, we are told our thinking has to be filtered. But they let the thinking be filtered. Sometimes people have all kind of blemish in their head. Remember Uzziah in the Bible? When the priest told him, you are king, you can't offer no sacrifice. He was so self-secure, he was so ambitious, he wouldn't humble himself to correction. He became so arrogant and everything else, and he decided to go and do it anyhow, and leprosy struck him in his head. Remember Asa in the Bible? When he locked up the prophet? When the prophet came to correct him? Sure, and he died with diseased feet. Remember Ahaziah? When he's going to Beelzebub and to find out if he's going to be healed, and Elijah said, what are you going up there for? And his inwards is rotten and fall out. Amen. You see, it shows, friends, as we're going to look at this, to see that God was telling Gideon, you want to see miracles, you want to see a paradox. Well, for you to see a miracle, you have to become a miracle first. You have to become a paradox first. And God said, okay, well, offer that second bullock in the ordered place upon the top of this rock. Offer it upon the wood of the groves you cut down. And when he did that, then the Spirit of God came upon him, and God and man was united. Then he went into a ministry of the Son of the Lord and of Gideon. But what's something? When God required that burnt sacrifice, Gideon understood what he had to produce if he had to see victory over them three powers that was coming. If he had to overcome the very challenge of the hour. And if we have to overcome these things we are seeing that is coming. If we have to live in victory and have dominion over these things. God is going to require preeminences. Amen. Full, complete preeminences. It's not I that live, but Christ that live in me. And the life I live now in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. He that is in you, greater is he that is in you, then he that is in them three powers coming there. Now look, so Gideon now had to bring that bullock head and put it on the altar. But today, you offer yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. We have to lay on our head. We have to lay on our feet. Amen. Sometimes we have certain thoughts we can't bring it subject to the word. Sometimes we have certain desires and certain ambitions that better we put before the word, we put before the work of God. Those things have to come on the altar, have to be washed with water. Is it the inwards and your feet washed with water? The fat, sometimes you bring the things that is of no use to us to God. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. It was speaking about that burnt offering, a full, complete surrender to God. Now, many people want to love God with all their heart, but when it comes to all their strength, they feel like kind of tired. But they have energy to go and shop. They have energy to work overtime and get some money. They have energy to run the park and play ball. They have energy to go and picnic. They have energy to go and hunt and fish. And they have no energy to take up a responsibility in the house of God many times. Amen. But watch. He said, bring the fat. And put it there. See? The feet with blemish. Brother, walk not in the vanity of mind. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't walk after the course of this world and the prince of the power of the air. Walk worthy of your vocation. Walk before me and be perfect. Walk in the light as I'm in the light. Amen. God calling for a perfect walk in this hour. Walk 7 steps to perfection. The prophet in the vision saw the bride. She was wriggling of the world. She was watching the worldly church. And she's walking away from the rhythm of the world. And the stay line call her back to the word. Is that right? He was calling the bride back. She was the one that was wiggling away. Amen. You had to keep her in that perfect walk. Now watch. So in Jesus, Jesus was that bullock. Now in Gideon day, he only had to offer the bullock. But in this day, the full complete burnt sacrifice, the fullness of it. Because part of it was revealing the ox, part was revealing the sheep, part was revealing the turtle dove. But it all gathered up to be that one burnt offering today in its fullness. The ox spoke of unceasing labor. The sheep speak of uncomplaining submission. Jesus was before Pilate, and there's lying against him, false accusations, a conspiracy to defame him and cause him to die under capital punishment. And Pilate says, say something and you know, defend yourself. The Bible says he was like a lamb dumb before his shearers. He opened not his mouth. Is that right? No retaliation. He was the lamb that could have been led by the dove straight into the wilderness, straight into Gethsemane, straight to judgment hall, even unto death at Calvary. Amen. Now watch. Look what the burnt offering is. Look what the preeminence is. Look what God was requiring before that ministry of the Son of the Lord. After the going away of the prophet and before the showdown of them 3 pounds. Somewhere between 1965 and the coming of that showdown here. Look and see. As we try to climax it here. You know, the prophet said the pastor is the ox. Jehovah laboring servant. Why? The ox plows the field. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The ox labor carrying the heavy loads. See? Under the strain. See? Carrying the burdens of the burden of the message. Carrying the problems of the people. See? The ox. And Jesus, he was that ox. Look at the prophet in his age. But the ox is a sacrificial animal. An animal that labors. And he labored so much. He said one night, one time in a meeting praying, 8 nights straight in the platform, just a little drink of coffee and trying to stir it and going back and praying for the sick. 8 nights for thousands upon thousands. 1960, lay back on his bed. Yeah, he said, Billy, you're getting old. You better do something for the Lord. You haven't done nothing for the Lord as yet. Already had about 2 million souls, one for the Lord. But because he saw what Jesus Christ deserved and the love, he saw the grace of God in his own life, he said, I wish I had 1,000 lives that give them all to Jesus Christ. And God said, would you like to see me on the curtain of time? He said, oh God, you know that would do me some good. Friends, what have we done for him? What have we used our strength and our energy for? See? Look, it had to be a bullock, or it had to be a sheep. The sheep is sacrificial. The only thing it brings forth is wool, and then it forfeits its rights. Or it could be a dove. A dove have no gall, have no bitterness. A dove is a messenger, it's trained to carry messages. It was used for an atonement as well. Is that right? Sure. So then we see how the dove spoke of innocence. Dove is a symbol of peace. Amen. Dove have no gall, no bitterness. It don't need a bath. It's clean from the inside out. See, no bitterness inside of there. No gall. But a dove can only eat the grain. It can't go and eat them, no dead carcass. When Noah loosed the dove, it went out there, couldn't find no place. The prophet says sometimes God is loose, you let you out sometimes to see what you're going to do. If you're going to go back in the world, you're going to go back in those things, but you fly around, there's no place to land, it come right back in the ark. Amen. Glory. Now look. But he had to bring forth his burnt offering, had to bring forth the unceasing labor, had to bring forth the uncomplaining submission, had to bring forth the innocence. If God is requiring that from us in this harvest time, to bring God and man into union, so that man and God can become one, or we say, I and God is united. Well, if you and God united, then you are brought forth these things. These things are evident in your life.
But then if you search yourself and you realize that there's many things inside of you, maybe you never look at it that way. Maybe you have a measure, but is it still a greater measure? Then you maybe have a quality, but then there might be a higher quality. Amen. You want the literal life of Jesus Christ to show he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. And then notice something. God was telling him, he says, look, Gideon, that is what I require, a burnt sacrifice. And God is requiring the same thing in this hour. Tonight, that is what he's requiring of us, friend. The head has to be laid on. No thoughts of our own. No ideas, no private interpretations. Amen. No self-opinionated. But I'm saying we have too many free thinkers. Let the minders in Christ be us. Let Christ be our head. Amen. See, what kind of desire we have? Is a thinking man filled and a holy man taste. One desire to see the word of God promised in this age be confirmed in your life. That is what you're hungering and thirsting for. That is what you desire. I want to see the word promised in this age, not Luther age or Wesley age. The word for this age be confirmed in my life, identified by all its characteristics. Amen. The fact, the strength, that our strength can be used in the service. When called upon to take a responsibility, and David said, I'd rather be a doormat in the house of God. Amen. Amen. That brother, we realize this is the opportunity we have to do something for the Lord in this hour. This great ministry we're looking for. Oh, Gideon's looking for miracles. You want to see power. You want to see miracles. You want to see revival on the third pole. You want to see all these things. But the Holy Spirit is saying, he says, yes, but bring that burnt sacrifice first. In the ordered place. Upon the images that you must cut down. Let it all be reduced to ashes and come before me that sweet smell and savor. Let me have my prayer ministry. Let it be me walking in you. Let it be me speaking to you. Let it be me thinking with your mind. Let it be me believe with your heart. Then you will see what you're looking for. Amen. Oh, my. Lord, look at Hattie Wright. Sat down there, the Holy Spirit said, Hattie, right now, $1 million coffee will fall in your lap. She looked, $1 million never move her. A woman making $120 a year, he says. He said, poor as poor could be. He said, Brother Branham, I want the salvation of my two boys. He said, there was Hattie Wright with her heart off of the things of the world. Desired something eternal. The inwards was washed with water, friend. Amen. But it wasn't so with Lot. Lot desired what was in Sodom. Esau sell his birthright for a morsel of meat. His affections wasn't washed. Amen. See? Look at the rich young ruler. Jesus said, sell all the heart, that treasure in heaven. He didn't want a treasure in heaven. He built bigger barns, and he was rejoicing at his intellect and his wisdom and how much he could store. He said, oh, fool, tonight your soul is going to be proud of you. See? Look at Achan. Couldn't obey the word. Didn't have a heart to obey. He said, don't touch nothing inside of here. He looked, he saw the Babylonian garment, he saw the golden wedge. He felt he could still get away with it. Brought destruction to himself and his whole family. See? Oh, my. But in this hour, God wants a people who could sacrifice everything. Who could bring everything to a full, complete sacrifice upon the altar. Surrender everything. Behold him nothing. That's what God requires from him. God is not watching our church attendance alone. God is not just watching how well we dress outwardly alone. God is looking to see what's in the inside here. He's requiring a burnt sacrifice. He called a horse to play in church. In other words, God is saying, you want to see those things, but those things don't come like that. I'm not going to do it outside of you. I'm going to do it by and through the members of the bride. The bride will speak and it will flash like lightning. It wouldn't be... God told the prophet, he said, you speak to the fish, you speak to the tumor, you speak to the storm. God wanted to do it through somebody who head was on the altar, who inward was washed with water, who feet was washed and walked in the bloody footprints. Amen. Who had no reservation. Surrendered everything to God. And so it is in this hour, friend. God showed the standard. Look in the Bible as I close with this. The first time the burnt offering was offered in the Bible was in Genesis 8. When Noah came out of the ark, Noah offered a burnt sacrifice. just before God displayed his token, his seven rainbows in the sky. And after God displayed his token, he told Noah, go forth into the earth now and have dominion. The fear and the dread of you will be upon every beast. And he walked forth into the new earth with dominion. God displayed his token. Why? Because he offered a burnt sacrifice. Look at Abraham in Genesis 22. God said, go and offer your son for a burnt offering. And he went up there. He had no reservations. But he cast down his own reasoning. His heart was obedient. His feet was walking in God's pathway. Amen. He woke up early and he was carrying out the word of God. And what happened? When God saw that he himself, his head was laid down. His inwards was washed. His feet was walking in God's revealed will. But the thing he loved the most, his own son, the choicest and most desirable thing to him, he was willing to offer it up as well. Jehovah Jireh came on the scene. And the spoken word, create a ram. Is that right? Look at 1 Kings 17, when Elijah, in the Shurong on Mount Carmel, he repaired the altar, the evening sacrifice, and he offered the burnt sacrifice. And when he offered the burnt sacrifice, he called fire and rain out of the sky in the same day. Is that right? But the fire didn't fall until he rightly divided the sacrifice, lay everything there on the altar, and he said, Father, let the fire fall. Amen. And the fire came and consumed everything. Look at Solomon when he built the temple. And after he had built the temple, when they offered thousands and thousands of burnt sacrifice, the glory of God came down and filled the temple. Amen. But brother, the glory only came in and filled the temple after all the burnt sacrifices offered. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel 13. Saul tried to run to offer the burnt sacrifice, but he didn't obey all that the prophet says. His head wasn't on the altar. He was injecting his own thoughts into what the prophet had said. The prophet said, go and kill everything. But he had a desire for popularity. See, he had his own thoughts. He had a reason with what the prophet said. He speared Agag, he speared a lot of sheep and oxen and different things. And when he came, he tried to go and offer the burnt sacrifice. And Samuel said, what's the matter with you? He said, the kingdom, God has rejected, the kingdom is torn from you this day. Because it was hypocritical. He was not in submission to the word. His desire wasn't right. Yet he was offering the burnt sacrifice. Because the burnt sacrifice speaks of a full, complete consecration. You see, your sacrifice shows forth your revelation of God, the God you worship. When he brought his sacrifice, it showed his revelation of God. When Abel brought his sacrifice, it showed his revelation of God. What you bring and present to God show your revelation of the God you worship. And if we see the God of the Bible in this hour, the one who followed the prophet's message, the one who sent the prophet and has followed the prophet's message for deliverance between the going of the prophet and the coming of them three powers in a time of economic crisis, when man trying to walk by human ability, but he has come to show us what he's requiring. And when that requirement was met, was God coming to see. And watch a ministry of the Son of the Lord went forth and bought a victory. Oh, my. And here we see this great secret in Judges chapter 6 and 7 is unfolding from 1965 to 1994. Between the going away of the prophet until the three powers come, this great thing is happening amongst us. Can we recognize what is taking place? Can we see positionally where we are? Can we see what God is requiring? Can we see if our experience is scriptural? Can we see from the plan of God what was the coming continuity to the prophet's message? Or are we just looking back to 1965, but failing to see at present where we are here, April the 1st, 1994, tonight, here in this hall here, at 9:05, what God is requiring of us right here, at this very moment. Amen. Let the musicians come. Let's just worship God a little bit. As you sing this little song number 25 in your Only Believe books. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus, I surrender all. Amen. I surrender all. I surrender all. And friends, as we would worship God in this song, I trust you see, I believe you see what I'm trying to express to you and the manner which I'm trying to show you that it's going to take a full surrendered life. We say preeminence, that means your head laid down. No thoughts of your own. Your desires washed are on the altar, your inwards. Your affections, certain things above and nothing beneath. Your fat, you love the Lord with all your strength. The choices and most desirable things, we don't keep it for ourselves and then give God all the things that we don't want or we don't need or is convenient to us. No. Everything. That could be completely reduced to ashes. And then we would have to say, where's all the miracles? You'll be a paradox. And because you are a paradox, through you, God will do more paradoxes. Incredible yet true. That's His promise for this hour. Amen. All to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. Oh, I will ever love. Will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Daily, surrender all. I surrender. Oh, let's meet it tonight as we sing it. Let it be our prayer tonight. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Oh, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Just all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now, I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. To Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy die. Oh, let me feel the Holy Spirit. Me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. Surrender all. Hallelujah. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Oh, let's stand to our feet and sing it. All to Jesus. Let's lift our hands, a sign of surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender, oh, without reservation, surrendering our head, our feet, our inwards, our fat. Lay it on the altar tonight. Let His holy fire consume it. Oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Oh, all to Jesus. All to Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now I feel the secret
flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord. I give myself to thee. To Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall me. I surrender all, oh God. Surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Oh, my, let's bow our heads. Close our eyes tonight. Oh, we want to surrender all, friends. We don't want to hold back nothing tonight. We want to lay down our heads. We want to lay down our feet tonight. We want to lay down our inwards tonight. We want to lay down our fat tonight. Let it be laid in order on the altar. Let it be laid upon every grove, every image, every little worldly desire, every little worldly passion, every little worldly ambition. Oh, let's lay it on the wood of those groves tonight. And let the holy fire of God come and consume it, reduce it to ashes, that might ascend to God as a sweet smelling savor tonight, of a fully consecrated life, a life without reservation. That God can have the preeminences he desire, that we might see his great promise. Oh God, he will not fail. He keeps his word. But he's showing us tonight in his word what he requires of us. Oh, that we can meet that requirement tonight. That there's a heart inside of us to respond to him, to respond to his word, to come to him in humility, in sincerity tonight. Oh, offering ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service tonight. Oh, precious Jesus, Father, we bow our hearts in our great presence, oh God. Lord, as we look into the pages of the Holy Scriptures, as we see, dear God, Father, the day we are living in, we see the type, we see the anti-type, oh God. We see the unchanging God in the unchanging continuity of his word. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh God, knowing that every scripture is given by inspiration, Lord, for good, for doctrine, profitable for us, Lord, is for correction. Oh God, Lord God, that we might be totally furnished, be made perfect unto all good works tonight. I pray, Father, you would take these things and make it such a reality in the hearts of your children, dear God. Lord God, we can walk in that word. We can come today, Lord. Lord, laying on everything, having faith in what you say about us, recognizing your great presence, coming among the elected, oh God, taking over the inferiority complexes, taking over the compromising spirit, oh God. Oh God, may you break every contrary influence, dear God. Lord, that we can come to a full surrender, dear God, that you and us can be so united. It'll be you walking our feet, speaking to our lips, thinking in our mind, believing in our heart, dear God. We can see, Lord Jesus Christ, in his fullness being expressed again. Your bride can be you revealed in this hour. Oh, God, may you grant it, Father. I pray tonight, Lord, there'll not be one in this building, but Lord, as under the sound of your voice, but Lord, the Holy Spirit will quicken to them and cause them to
to recognize the hour. Cause them to recognize the requirement of the Holy Spirit. Cause them to recognize your visitation. Cause them to recognize, Lord, it is not man, it is you in the midst, O God. Lord, unveiling yourself, showing forth your program for this hour. May you grant it, O God. I pray hearts and lives will be drawn into a closer fellowship, into a deeper experience, into a closer walk, dear God. Lord, into a more surrendered life, that we can see Jesus Christ be made manifest in this hour. Oh God, you can bring a bride into rapture condition. Bring a people ready for a ministry of the Son of the Lord. Oh God, I great temple, Lord. Lord, may you grant it, Father. We love you and appreciate you. We thank you, dear God, for what you're doing. Oh, gracious God, may this continue, Lord, to deal with every heart. Make it real, dear God. Lord, there are those tonight, Lord God, who might see these things, but Lord God, the enemy might be trying to hold them back from walking into it. I pray tonight and to open their heart, dear God, to you, that the Holy Spirit will let them know you've come for them, Lord. You remember the honest in heart. You've come back around for them. Oh, God, they belong to you and not one will be lost. I pray tonight, Father, that, Lord, as they draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto them. Oh, God, you will just move in their heart and move in their life in such a way that this day they will mark this spot, Lord. Lord, they will drive us, take down. They will take a stand for you, dear God. Oh, they'll walk away with a real, making a real commitment to your word. Lord, come into a place where they'll not play church anymore, not play religious anymore. But, oh, God, they'll know it's a time for action. They'll mean business with you, dear God. May you grant it tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. May you take your word that have gone forth, and may you deal with every heart as you see fit, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit this message and this people into your hands, thanking you for your presence and thanking you for what you're doing amongst us, Lord. We give you glory and honor tonight in the precious, lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. All glory and honor be unto your name. How great is our God. Thank you, Father. You made your word so real, oh God. Continue to inspire it more and more. Oh God, kindly bless your servants. Kindly bless your people, oh God. Let the meeting go forward. May go high and high, oh God. Have your own blessed way. Oh God, engrave these things in our heart with an iron pen. May it never leave us, oh God. May it cause us to be so focused into the will and purpose of God in this hour. Oh, if we can get in the rhythm of the word and walk in harmony with you, Lord. Oh God, may you grant it tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Let's just sing, Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, I surrender all the kingdoms of my heart. I trust tonight you see what I try to communicate to you by the grace of God to show you what is happening, what was promised in the word to follow the message of the prophet, and what has been happening from 1965 to this present time. You see those three powers out there. You see that false vine out there. To see God among the elect, unknown to the world. Jehovah Shalom, the Creator, was on the scene speaking to his elected, taking them with inferiority complexes, lifting up in the higher bracket of faith, opening a channel to bring them into oneness, getting them ready for a ministry of the Son of the Lord. You see, all these things was happening in secret, unknown to the world. Amen. Isn't God great? Oh, he's just wonderful. Jesus be the